Psalm 31. Used to, I was apprehensive about preaching out of the Psalms because I didn't know very much. I was kind of intimidated about some things in the Psalms, and I didn't understand a lot of it. But as time has gone on and I've got older and I've seen a few things, then it's the Psalms are a great comfort to me. And it's not just a comfort, but a help. And I have enjoyed the Psalms over the past probably 5 or 6 years more than probably any part of the Bible. And I noticed whenever I was going through my sermons, you know, I've got so many. And I was going through my sermons, I noticed that a lot of my sermons are out of the Psalms. And I guess it's because whenever you go through something, the Lord will, He'll comfort you and give you something out of the Bible to help you through that hard time. And that's what the Psalms does for you. It's a real good book if you're going through struggles. And that's kind of what I'm going to try to deal with a little bit tonight, if you can bear with me for just a few minutes. I'll try not to keep you too long. I don't think I kept you too long this morning. Okay, good. Got a few head nods there. No, we're good, I guess. Maybe you folks that drive a long way, you'll get home before 9. Is that good? We'll be good then. All right, Psalm 31. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, because I'm going to comment as I go, and I don't want you standing up for the next 20 minutes. I'm going to start in verse 19. I'll go from there. I'll read to the end of the chapter. Then you folks can sit down. We'll pray, and then I want to say some things about these first few verses here. He says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." Now, boy, we can just stop right there, and we can ponder that, and we can understand that God's goodness, He's just great goodness. And He says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of man thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." Sometimes we're like that. We get a little bit antsy. You know, we want to hear from God like that. He says, "Oh, love the Lord." Man, that's just good, isn't it? "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." And I sure hope that your hope is in the Lord tonight. Now I want to ask Brother Brian, would you mind to pray for us tonight? Brother, you've done an excellent job leading the singing and popping me up there. We're good to go. Go ahead, brother. That's the truth. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to try to take my time tonight and be deliberate, and I'm not trying to be long or anything like that, but I really would like for you to get this psalm. Look down in verse 1. He says, "In thee, O Lord..." Now, I want you to pay attention to the Lord there. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness, not in my righteousness." I mean, most people nowadays, it seems like they're dependent on themselves to get out of their situation or out of their trouble, whatever they may be in. They're dependent on their own strength to be able to do that. But that's not what David was trying to do. David was dependent upon God. And that's, I believe, where God wants us. I believe God wants us in a position to where we are trusting in Him. For our daily walk, He wants us to trust in Him. Look down at verse 2. He says, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily." Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I call upon God, I want God to hear my prayers. I want Him to hear my cries. I want Him to listen to me. And I don't want to say something, you know, that's off color or anything like that. I just want God to hear what I've got to say to Him. And when I'm earnest and I'm hurting and I need Him, I want Him to hear those times. When I'm trying to send up a Nehemiah prayer to Him and, Lord, I need something like right now. I need for You to intervene on my behalf. I sure want Him to hear me. I need it. You do. It's not just me. We all do. I mean, if you're in trouble out on the road, you need God. You need to ask God to help you. And there's sometimes that's an immediate need. And we sure do need for God to show up like that. I need for Him to hear me like that. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord. There it is again, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Second time he said, I trust in the Lord. I trust in God. I trust in God every day. I want to trust Him for my basic daily needs to get me through the day. And sometimes God may put you in a position to where you're going to have to ask Him for your daily bread. Now, in America, that's foreign to us. In America, we don't even understand what it is to be hungry anymore. We don't understand what it is to go through hard times anymore because we got too many people that we can go to, too many resources that we can go to outside of God. And I'm telling you, sometimes God may get you in a position to where you're going to have to depend on Him. Looks to me like David's got just a little bit of victory here. But he still has a little bit of a complaint. He says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities. We kind of tell the Lord what we've done. We've done this for you, God. Now will you answer our prayer? We passed out a tract. We witnessed to somebody. We prayed when we were supposed to. We read our Bible. We went to church when we were supposed to. God, have I done enough and put it on my account to where that You'll answer my prayer for me? We kind of all barter with the Lord. You know, I got news for you. Sometimes God will answer your prayer and you don't even have to do all that stuff. And then sometimes you'll do all that stuff and God might delay a little bit. It's not that He won't answer it, but sometimes it may not be the answer you want or we want. You know, that's the way God deals with us sometimes. And we may not always like that. We're frail beings. We're human. We like things immediately. We want God to treat us with respect and dignity. Give us what we deserve. Boy, thank God He didn't give us what we deserve. I'm not going to go to the Lord and I say, Lord, give me what I deserve. No way I'm going to go to God like that. Because, boy, I know me. If I got what I deserve, man, I'm telling you, it'd be more than just hell. I mean, it'd be a lot worse than that. Thank God He didn't give me what I deserve. Look down at what He says in verse 7. See, he's getting some victory, then some defeat. Then some victory, then some defeat. And that's the way the Christian life is. There's ups, there's downs. There's ups, there's downs. We're like the children of Israel back in the book of Judges. You know, they have victory, they 40 year, man, everything going good, and then all of a sudden the judge dies, and boom, they go down. And then they get them a new judge, and up they go. You know, the judge leads them through, and everything's real good. They're trusting God, praying to God, everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, the judge dies, boom, they go down. I mean, that's the Christian life. It's up, down, up, down. It's never always glamorous. It's never always steady. There's going to be some ups and there's going to be some downs in your life. But no matter what you're going through, learn to trust in God. No matter what it is. Look at verse 7. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Me too. Don't you like the mercy of God? Well, I tell you, when He shows it, man, I'm telling you, I like it. I like to get the mercy of God, and I will be glad, and I will rejoice in that. But when the hard times come, that's a little different. That's a new kind of Christianity. That sure ain't charismatic. Because they say, well, if you trust God, then everything's going to be rosy. It sure ain't been for me. I've trusted Him. It sure hadn't been for a lot of you either, and you've trusted Him. It says, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. There it is again, O Lord. For I am in trouble, mine eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. We went sad again, didn't we? I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. I'm going to tell you, David seems to be going through something pretty tough right here. And the only person that can help him out, the only one that's capable of getting him out of the hand of the enemy, is God Almighty and nobody else. David cannot go in his own strength and get himself out of the hand of the enemy like he's done so many other times. And there's going to be times in your life that you cannot go in your own strength and get yourself out of all that trouble that you've gotten yourself into a lot of times and get yourself out of. You're going to have to depend in God. Look in verse 14, he says, but I trusted. There it is again. Trust, trust, trust in thee, O Lord. There that is again. O Lord, I said, thou art my God. That's me, man. He is my God. Is he your God? Then don't be ashamed of it. He says, make thy face. Where am I at? My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. Here we go again. For I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. I've called on you. Don't let me be ashamed. Let them be ashamed, not me. Let them take the brunt of I started to say wickedness. That was just terrible. Can't even believe that came to the surface. I don't know where that came from. But let them take the brunt of all your wrath upon whatever it is. Let them, not me, God. You know, whenever we heard that there was a... would it be okay if I said something about the hurricane without hurting anybody? Okay. Well, some folks, they get a little tender about that stuff. But whenever we heard it was coming this way, man, we were praying. You know, we prayed, you know, that it wouldn't do any damage or nobody would, you know, especially the church and the folks in the church, you know. But at the same time, you folks in the church, you got neighbors. Well, I mean, it's not going to skip you, hit them kind of thing in a hurricane. I mean, if you get flooded, it's not going to skip you, hit them kind of thing, you know. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So we were praying that God would have mercy on the folks in Jacksonville and especially you folks. And he, you know, I was talking to Brother Walker over there in Monticello, you know, and we'd thought about going down there. We just couldn't get the thing worked out because we was afraid we was going to get stranded on the road going down there to hear Brother Peacock preach. And, you know, and I like hearing him, but I'm not worth getting stranded on the road for, you know. I'm not going to do it. We were afraid we couldn't get no gas. We couldn't get back home. I'm too old to get stranded on the road. I'm not going to do it. All I have is a knife. I don't have a gun. I couldn't, you know, it'd have been rough, you know, on the way back. So we decided not to go, but we were praying, you know, Lord, you know, direct it. But where can you pray God direct it? I mean, yeah, back out in the ocean. There you go. That's about all you can do. I mean, if it's coming up, we even thought it was coming to North Carolina and the mountains up there, you know, and going to hit us. And with a hurricane in the mountains of North Carolina, who's ever heard of such thing? But, I mean, you got to understand. I remember one time Brother Walker, he was taking me to the airport, and we missed the flight. We've done that a couple times now. Don't tell him, and I hope he don't listen to this. But we was going to the airport, you know, and, man, he was driving like a madman trying to get me there, you know. I mean, he was going the speed limit. That almost sounded like he was breaking the law, but he wasn't, you know. He was going to speed limit. TK, do not even go down that road there. But anyway, we were going to the airport, and we was going down through there, and we missed the flight. And I said, well, brother, I said, maybe that was the Lord, you know, trying to keep me off that flight in case something happened. You know, we've all said stuff like that, you know. And Brother Walker looked at me in his serious face and rebuked me real good without knowing he was rebuking me. And he said, yeah, but what about all the other people on that plane? I said, okay, man, I feel good now. But it's the truth. You got to realize you're not the only person. You're not the only Christian. There's other Christians out there. And whenever we ask God to deliver us, you got to understand the Lord's trying to deliver some other folks too. He's trying to help other folks out too, just like He is you. Thank God for prayer. And I believe that God can answer prayer and does answer prayer, keeps us out of trouble. But don't you get to the place to where you think that you are the only person in America that God answers prayer for. Because He doesn't. Elijah, he was kind of like that one time, wasn't he? He's sitting down under a juniper tree and he said, "Here am I alone and they seek to take my life." The Lord said, "I reserve 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal." Well, there's other people out there. Other people that are praying, asking God to do something. Maybe they're not just like you, and we can all thank God for that too. Amen. He says, and where am I at, Brother Larry? I don't know. 16, 17, it's all good. It says, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Did you know in this chapter right here, 10 times it says, "O Lord." It says 5 times it says, "O Lord." 5 times, look at that, 5 times. I'm North Carolina, I can't even count, can I? I can't even cipher like Jethro, can I? 5 times it says, "O Lord." 5 times it says, "Thee Lord." You know what I've learned in my Christian walk? Unless there is some "O Lord," there's not going to be any "Thee Lord." You're going to have to learn in your Christian walk, as you walk daily with God Almighty, that there's going to be some times of desperation that you will be crying out to God, "Oh God, help me." And then there's going to be some times that you're going to see God, as we all should see Him, high and lifted up and glorified like Isaiah saw the Lord. And I mean, when you get to those times, it's going to be good. And that's where we are down in verse 19. David had begun to see the Lord. He saw what God had done for him. He began to see that God was good. And I mean to tell you, I want you to understand tonight that God is our safety. He is our surety. He is our security. And without Him, we have nothing. We are nothing. We will be nothing without Him. You remember we're kind of talking this morning about Hannah for just a minute. I kind of mentioned her for a minute. She went to the Lord in her complaint and cried out to God, and God answered her prayer. There's going to be times that you have a complaint, just like David did here. He's crying out to God in his complaint. If you have a complaint, don't post it on Facebook. Go to God with it. And say, "Lord, deliver me from this thing. Show me." There's going to be some "O Lord" in your life. There's been some in my life. Now look, last year there was up to church where we're going, they knew this police officer that had been killed in the line of duty. His name was Tim Brackeen. And he lived kind of close to the church. His dad was a Baptist missionary that had been in Russia for years and had come home. His brother is a Baptist preacher. And this guy, he felt like, you know, that he was called to be a police officer, honestly. And he was killed in the line of duty. And it was a sad situation, you know, the thing that had happened. It was just, any time that goes on, it's just sad to me. You know, it's sad. And I'm not trying to say that the police officers are more important than anybody else that dies. But what I am saying is I appreciate the fact that they go out there and put their lives on the line for us, so that there is a line of defense between good and evil. And we ought to appreciate that. So if you go home today and you get a speeding ticket going 80 miles an hour in a 55, then what you ought to do is thank God that there is somebody out there trying to curtail evil, and He is doing that because it's the right thing to do. Don't take it personal. Just take it and thank Him for it. So I'm grateful for those fellas. You know, I'm thankful for the fellas that go overseas and fight in the military, and they give their lives for our country. But you know what's even more sad to me is I know the fact that there's a lot of those fellas that give the ultimate sacrifice for their country that they're not saved. Now, we don't like to think about that because we appreciate their sacrifice so much. And we know that there's a lot of police officers that are not saved. Now, thank God, the one I'm giving the illustration about, he was saved. He's a saved man. Attended a Baptist church up there. I mean, regular. He was a good, you know, a good member of that church. And they had a good testimony about it. As a matter of fact, they had the entire video broadcast on the local news up there. And it went out to most of the state in North Carolina whenever he, you know, they had the funeral service. And boy, I guarantee you, the preachers that they had preaching, they regret posting that video broadcast of that fellow's funeral. They had a good testimony. And they were telling about hell, and they were telling about Jesus Christ and what Christ could do for you. I mean, it was a good time of witness. But somebody had to give his life. He left behind a wife and a little girl. Matter of fact, the one-year anniversary of that was about 2 weeks ago. The little girl's without a daddy, the wife is without a husband, and I'll guarantee you, in the dark of the night, when you see a lady, they look at us for their security. And when we are at home with them, they're safe. You know, I don't care how, that's just the way it works. You know, I can go home and I can stay at home by myself. Doesn't bother me at all. You know, I don't think anything of it. I'll even leave the doors unlocked. It don't even faze me. But now when Karen's at home by herself, man, everything has to be just right. The alarm has to be turned on. The pistol has to be handy. You know, I mean, there's knives in every, you know, as you're walking out every door, there's knives laying everywhere. You know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, they get scared. We are their security. So here's that lady. She's laying in her bed at night. Her security's gone. Now that's sad to me. Now I'll guarantee you in the middle of the night sometime, there's been some old Lord. That little girl laying in there in her bedroom by herself and her daddy's never going to come home again. Now I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you the truth. There is going to be some old Lord. And that little girl laying in that bedroom, you know, and she's expecting her dad to come bouncing through the door at any time. Probably too young to really understand everything that has gone on. And daddy ain't coming home. I mean, she's just not going to get that safety blanket. It's just not going to be there. Now, there's going to be some old Lord in our lives. But I want you to understand something. When you're going through the hard times, that my God, I don't know about yours, but I know my God, He can comfort you. The other day, this is just kind of a side note, Brother Larry. I got to throw this in there. We were at the motel, and the first time in my life, I saw something other than the King James Bible in the drawer there, a Book of Mormons. You're not going to get any comfort out of the Book of Mormons. Not going to help you. Not going to do nothing for you. I mean, all it's going to do is make you mad. Don't even read the thing. Just throw it in the trash can and leave. That's the best thing to do. That's probably, if I remember, if Karen will remind me, I'll throw it in the trash can before I leave so I won't lie to you. Because I don't want anybody to read the thing. But now I'll leave that King James Bible in there because somebody that's needing some comfort that crawls into that motel bed after we leave, there's no telling. They might be in one of those old Lord kind of situations. They may need the comfort of God. And I want you to understand something. I got a God that is God of comfort. He knows how to comfort us in our times of distress and our times of doubt. He knows how to get close to you and move in next to you when nobody else can understand what we're going through. God can. That's my God. I want you to notice down there, verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up." That looks to me like there's a treasure of goodness reserved for his people. He laid it up. Saved it. Set it aside. We're going to set this aside for a rainy day because you're going to need some goodness one day. And whenever the bad times come and you're having a struggle, I'm going to have that goodness in reserve so that I can give you some of that goodness. I can show you some of my great comfort. You know what? Honest, look, folks, we just ain't good folk. But God's good. God's not just good, He's great goodness. I mean, if we have any goodness in us whatsoever, it's because God gave it to us. It's because God put some goodness in us. The only time that we can have goodness is after we're saved. Before we're saved, there ain't no way we could have had any goodness in us. Because we did not have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. We did not have the Holy Spirit of God guiding us. There is no way we could have had any goodness. Don't you fool yourself. You're not good. And apart from God Almighty, there would be no goodness in you. Do you know goodness in Galatians 5? I'm pretty sure that it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Am I wrong about that? Goodness? Got to have some of that goodness, don't you? Do you know that's a fruit that God works out in you? That's not something you work for. That's a fruit that God works out in you. Is that good? Do you remember about the centurion soldier that God saw that he was a good man? You can be a good man and not go to heaven. You can be a good woman and be lost and on your way to hell. Now we all know the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous. Right? Nobody's good. Nobody's righteous. Nobody's holy. God is holy. He is all those things. When we got saved, we got some of that. And when you're going through the hard times, you know what God does? He says, hey, here's some of my goodness. I've had this laid up in reserve for you for a long time because I knew one of these days you was going to need it. He said, here, just take a little of my goodness. If that's not enough, I got a little bit more in reserve and I'll be glad to give that to you when you need it the worst. You know, God doesn't always show up when we want Him to, but He always shows up on time. Always on time. How about Joseph in the prison over there? You know, the butler and baker, they had their dream, you know, and they went to Joseph. Joseph answered the dream, you know, told him what it was, you know. The butler, he's going to get restored to his butlership. The baker, he's going to, you know, that's a bad one to tell, you know. I think I'd have kind of held back a little bit on him, you know. Please tell, you know, Pharaoh that I answered your dream, but I'll tell you what your dream is after you get out of here, you know. And sure enough, that's what came to happen. They said, Joseph said, hey, listen, fellas, when you get out of here, will you speak good to Pharaoh for me? They forgot all about him. Here's Joseph down there, and he's thinking, boy, I bet he had some, oh, God moments down there. He had a dream that he's going to be set up over all that stuff, and then he's down in the prison. Don't you know he had some old God moments? Oh God, what to do wrong? I just told them my dream. They hated me because you gave me a dream. I just told them, oh God, there's going to be some of that, folks. I don't always like it, do you? I believe God made some preparation whenever He laid this stuff up for us. Look down there, verse 19. He said, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought. You know what it is when you wrought something? Now, if you've ever welded anything, and you take a hammer and you heat that thing up, you heard of wrought iron, right? You heard of that? They work it. That's what they do with that hammer. They heat it up and they work it. You know what God does with us? He heats us up and He works on us. And then when He's wrought that goodness, He passes that along to us and He helps us out in the hard times with His great goodness. Now you see, we say, oh, they were so good to me and they were so kind to me and they helped me out so much. And that's the truth. And God does use people to help you at times. But I'm telling you, nobody can comfort like God can comfort. Nobody can help you like God can help you. Don't you ever get to the place to where that you think that everybody else can do more for you than God can do for you, because He can't. God laid up a little something for us, laid up some great goodness. I like that. You may not, but I like it. Why did He do it? For our future. For our future, because He knows that we're going to run into trouble. Listen, if there's one subject we could continually preach about, it's trouble. Because you're either in the storm, you just came out of the storm, literally for some of you, or another storm is coming. I mean, that is the Christian life. Boy, this would go over well at the charismatic church, wouldn't it? Look over in Psalm 107. Now hold your place here. We're going back. How we doing on time, Brother Brad? This is introduction, first point. We good? All right. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I'm telling you, when God's good to you, you probably ought to praise the Lord. I mean, some of you ladies, it'd probably be good for you just to. Remember, ladies used to do that in church. Are they too refined now to do that? I mean, they're too sophisticated. You know, they've learned too much. No, raise your hand and praise God when He's good to you. Men, you say amen in church. Sure did. Now I know where I'm at, and I realize you folks do too, but every once in a while, you just ought to think how good God's been to you and how much He's provided for you. It ought to stir a little something in you. Remember where you came from, where you was headed. God intervened. He took over. You ever studied but God in the Bible? Maybe you ought to. Because, boy, I'm telling you what, every once in a while, God just butts in. And, man, when He does, it sure is a blessing when He butts in. I'm glad when He butts in my life. Oh, how good God is in nature. Now, up where I'm from, that means something to us, especially this time of year. You know, the leaves are about to start changing, and God's about to start painting the valley. Now, I realize, you know, science, they say, you know, that, well, it's because of the change in the temperature and because of all the waterfall that you had that year, and because the leaves, you know, are going through a type of whatever, whatever, whatever. I think it's just because God paints the valley. I mean, man, and it's beautiful reds and blues and violets and greens and embers. And boy, I'm telling you, sometimes you can look at some of those trees and they look like they're just on fire. They're just so orange. It is absolutely beautiful. My wife loves that up there, that time of year. Man, where I'm from, I get to see God's goodness in nature. You do too. You got fish in the ocean that you eat. God's good in nature. God's good in nurture. He takes care of us. He puts His hand around us. He pities us. I mean, He covers us with His wings, and He pities us, and He corrals us, and He watches over us, and He loves us. How good God is in nurture. Why, I know everybody, they always say, well, nobody loves like a mother loves. No, I got news for you. Ain't nobody loves like God loves. Nobody can caress a baby like a mother can caress a baby. Oh, no. Nobody can caress a baby like God can caress a baby. Any lady that loves babies and loves children and has that nurturing to her, it's because God gave her that nurturing. Because God can nurture us. Oh, how good God is in necessities, is He not? I mean, He can feed you hand to mouth, or He can feed you in abundance. But He can feed you. He can give you something every week at church to feed you so that you can understand that God knows what He's doing. He can help you along life's way. You can look back on the sermon during that week and you can say, oh my goodness, that's what the preacher was talking about the other night. It's come to fruition in my life, and I see just how good that God is. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have none of the stuff I've got. I'm glad when I go in my garage at night, all I got to do is press a button, man. That's all I got to do. Then I pull in out of the rain, press the button, door closes, we're secure. What a hoot, man. I just never had that before, you know. I mean, me and Karen, we pull in the garage, you know, and every once in a while we'll just sit there and we'll just say, man, God's good. Been good to us. You say, are you rich? No, but I'm rich in God. I'm rich in His goodness. I've had more of His mercy and goodness bestowed upon me than I surely deserve. I'm glad that God has looked on me, a poor and wretched sinner, and He's been so kind to this sinner. Help me out. Amen. He did it for our future. He did it for our faith so that we could increase in our faith. Amen. I want to, don't you? I want God to help me in my faith so that I can believe and trust Him more. The protection that He gives us, it's something that He does for us, and He kind of, look down at verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. I like being hidden, God, don't you? Just kind of, you know, the Lord just kind of says, okay, I'll protect you and hide you, and nobody else can see you. Isn't it amazing how you read over there in the Gospels, how that Jesus Christ just walked through the crowd and they didn't even see Him? Isn't it something how the Lord hides some things that about us sometimes, and people can't see those things, and thank God we can. I'm going to tell you, up where we're from, they have these, testimonies, but really they ought to be called confession sessions. And they get up and they start talking about, you know, I used to be this and I used to be that. And honestly, I've learned over the years, I just don't think the little kids need to hear that stuff. I mean, it's, because the little kids, they hear that, and they get that kind of, there's an attraction there or something. I can't, you know, maybe I can't pinpoint the thing, but I don't think it's good for those little kids to hear what you used to be. I mean, if my daughter, we don't tell our daughter what we used to do. We just don't talk about it. That's in the past, you know. And we go around our family and they finally got to where they don't talk about what we used to be in the past. But boy, your family, they're kind of bad about that. Well, you didn't know him when he was young. Yeah, you didn't know what he used to do. Well, thank God that's used to. We ain't doing it anymore. Let's go on. Let's talk about something else. Let's change the subject. Let's go on to something else. Because that ain't me no more. I don't live like that no more. I don't do them things. Don't hang with them that do. You don't either. I'm not trying to make this a Mike Wheeler sermon. We don't do those things. Look down at verse 21. O Lord, consider us. O Lord, comfort us. 19 and 20. O Lord, consider us. He says, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness. The favor he has showed us. You know, God throughout history has always kind of handed out his mercy to the unsaved, not in the sense that they were favored by him, but just that he was being merciful. You know, before I got saved, I saw the mercy of God. I mean, it was God's mercy, you know, that probably I lived as long as I did so I could get saved. So and I saw the mercy of God, and he's always done that. He's kind of shown that mercy. But then after you're saved and you're one of his, he favors us. I mean, when folks are crying out to him, you know, and you call on the Lord. Hang on just a minute. I've got an incoming call from my son. Wait just a minute. Wait. You know, I heard one fella, he said that God's line ain't never busy. Never on hold. Never have to get back to you in a minute. I mean, he's always open to listening to his son. Are you a son of God? Well, are you? Well, I am. I'm a son of God. I can go right into the throne room right now. I can say, oh, God, help us tonight. We need you. I'm right in there. You are too. You can do the same thing. Because you're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're one of his, and he prefers us. You know, over there in Acts chapter 27, it says that the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. That means, in mountain terms, that means they showed them a bunch. Showed them a bunch of kindness. They were good to him. You know how kind God is to you and how gentle? How gentle? You know the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? Do you know how kind and gentle? He is a perfect gentleman. I'm not talking about chivalry. I'm talking about he is a perfect gentleman. He has never been unkind to me. I'm not saying that he shows me respect because I don't deserve respect, but I'm telling you, God is kind. And he shows that to us. He has showed me his marvelous. It's not just kindness, it's marvelous kindness. It's something that we should marvel at. That's how good God's kindness is. We should marvel at his good kindness. The joy he has bestowed upon us. Look down at verse 22. He says, for I said in mine haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. The joy he bestowed upon us. You know what? Honestly, folks, we ought to be a little bit more happy than what we are. We ought to be a little bit more joyful toward God Almighty than what we are. We ought to realize just how good God is, and it ought to make us have just a little bit of that bubbly on the inside. And maybe praise his name just a little bit more. Give him just a little bit more glory, because he certainly does deserve it. I know there's certain things, they stir me. They move me. Like a good sermon, it stirs me, it moves me, it moves me to tears. I probably listened to Brother Lynch's sermon on Breathe. I don't know, I've wore the thing out, I've listened to it so much. And every time I listen to it, it speaks to me. It's the sermon that he preached at this church, right here, and I was sitting right about right there. And man, it affected me. It was good. You see, that stirs me. And whenever I hear that thing, it just kind of moves my heart. And it helps me to remember just how kind and how gentle and how good that God's been to me. And you ought to find the thing that stirs you. That song, like he sung about mercy this morning. There's a fellow that sings that up at the church where we go to, and brother, he sings it. Is that brother here tonight? Nope, not here. Nope. Where are you at? Raise your hand. I see you, okay? You did a great job. I mean, it was eloquent, beautiful. I loved it. There's a fellow that he sings it with a guitar up there where we're at. He's just an old mountain guy. He's got a real mountain voice, you know, and man, he starts whining. Now, he don't sing, he whines. And he leaks when he sings. You know, I mean, I'm not just talking about here. I mean, he leaks all over. I mean, he just leaks. But boy, I tell you what, you can tell that that old bird, he loves Jesus. And it may not be as eloquent as yours is, but I mean to tell you, when he sings it and he gets to thinking about what God's done for him, and it begins to affect him on his face, and boy, I'm telling you what, you can just make that connection and you know that God's done something for him in his life that you can't explain. You can't write it down in a book. You can't teach it in a Bible Institute. You can't preach about it. You got to experience it every once in a while. You need to experience the goodness of God, the gentleness of God, the kindness of God. Make you marvel. Make you marvel. Look at verse 23. Oh, how the psalmist compels us. Now he says, oh, love the Lord. Now don't you think that it's kind of odd that we continually have to be reminded to love God? I mean, we ought to just love Him. You shouldn't have to be goaded into it. You shouldn't have to be provoked into it. You shouldn't have to be talked into it. We should just love Him. Oh, love the Lord. I mean, when you get up in the morning, you ought to just say, now used to, I prayed this right here, I'd say, Lord, help me to love You more. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, boy, that's kind of a strange prayer. I should just love God. I shouldn't have to beg God to help me love Him. I mean, He's done enough for me already. I'll just love Him. I shouldn't have to have Him prove Himself over and over again to me so that it'll provoke me or kind of goad me into loving Him more. I'll just love Him because He's been good to us. Look down there, verse 23, he says, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. I think that'll go to us, don't you? I think we can kind of apply that to a New Testament Christian and say, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Are you a saint of God? You don't need the Pope to saint you. If you're saved, you're a saint. Because Paul said you was. He's already, I guess if you want to say you poked in, then Paul poked you in. But you're a saint. You're a saint of God. You're a child of God. That makes you a saint. He says, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. My goodness. Oh, love the, you ought to love God and you ought to be loyal to God. Amen. There shouldn't be anything come between you and your Savior. Amen. At any time, ever. He ought to be number one in your life. You know, faithfulness really is the only requirement we have as a Christian. It is required in stewards that a man be found. That is our requirement. It's not to do anything special, just be faithful. Faithful to the one that gave so much so we could have so much. And then he says, oh, love the Lord, because He preserves you. I believe in eternal security, don't you? Up where I'm from, you have to talk them into it. I mean, I believe when God saved me, He saved me. He did the job. He fixed it. It's done. I don't have to go back and get resaved again. Don't have to get retreaded. He put a cap on me that's going to last forever. Because I'm sealed under the day of redemption. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God promise. I don't have to go back and get recapped again. He did their job right the first time, and I don't have to get resaved. Listen, if you're saved, you're preserved. He preserves you. He takes care of you, watches after you. He loves you, folks. He loves you. Do you love Him? Mm-mm. Faithfulness is our regulation. It's our requirement. It's our regulation. It's what we got to do. I'm going to leave you with one illustration. I think I'm done. I'm not sure, but I think I am. Me and Brother Lance, we were out one day. We were at the church, and they brought this big truckload of mulch. We had pitchforks, you know, and what we was doing was pitchforking that mulch into the wheelbarrows. We was running it up the hill, you know, and dumping it out. Running up the hill, dumping it out. You know, run up the hill, dumping it out. I mean, we did, there's like 700 wheelbarrows of mulch out there. It's just me and him. He said, Brother Mike, he said, I think I'm going to preach on John 21 Sunday. You like that passage? I said, yeah, brother. Who don't? Great passage, you know. So we did a little more mulch, you know. He was just like that, you know. He'd ask you a question and he wouldn't give you the answer. So I'm going up down the hill, and I'm thinking, okay, in a minute, he's going to say something else to me, you know. And after about 50 more buckets of mulch going up down the hill, he said, most Christians, they don't ever live the kind of life to where they give up something so they can learn more about God. He said, do you like that passage of Scripture? I said, I love that passage of Scripture. He said, what did it say? I said, it says, Peter, do you love me? Whew. Do I love you? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. More mulch. Up down the hill, up down the hill. Me crying. Had my head turned sideways because I didn't want him to see me cry. I thought he was a manly man, you know, and I didn't want him to see me cry. I mean, he's kind of intimidating a little bit, you know. I mean, he's a little rough around the edges every once in a while. I didn't know from day to day if he was going to punch me or shake my hand. I didn't know what was going to happen. Up and down the hill, up and down the hill. Got back down to the bottom of the hill. He said, you like that passage? I said, man. He said, what does it say? I said, it says, Peter, do you love me? He said, yep. He says, what does it say then? It says, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Well, if he knew everything, why do you ask him? Everything. I mean, God knows everything. I didn't mean to imply that God didn't know something. But boy, it was in my heart. And I was asking that question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's easy to say the words, it's harder to live the life. Up and down the hill, up and down the hill, up and down the hill, and finally, I was thinking, surely we're going to get this last question. It's going to be over with, you know, and I'll be good. Come back down the hill. He never did even ask me. It was over. I mean, that was nothing else. It was just, okay, we're done. Let's go to the house. But boy, on the way home, all I could think of was, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Sitting at red lights, tears flowing down my face, trying to figure out if I really loved him. Do you love me? Do you love me? I sure have loved God over the years, but I'll be honest with you, I just don't know that I've loved Him like He's loved me. Because boy, He sure has loved me. Loved me and helped me and been my security. Been my surety. Been my strength, my guide, my helper. I'm not going to stand up here before you tonight, and I'm not going to say this to you. that I know what David was going through. And I'm not even going to stand up here tonight and say I know what you're going through, because I do not. I know what I've been through, and I know what God has done for me. You know what you've been through, and you know what God has done for you. Now look in verse 24. I'm done. He says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Oh, love the Lord. I started out by kind of this thought right here. Fail me not, O Lord, when I need you the most. Sometimes God will come along and He'll put you through a test, a trial, a struggle, maybe just to find out, really, do you love Him? Do you love me? You know, it'd be good every once in a while if He didn't have to goad you and you just went to Him and said, "Lord, I'm not asking you for nothing. I just want you to know I love you. You don't have to do anything for me. I love you. You don't have to answer my prayers. I love you. You do not have to fix all my problems. I love you." Do you love Him tonight? Oh, love the Lord. He's been too good to us not to. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Miss Pat, would you mind to come tonight? Are you here tonight? Yes, you are. Boy, thank God you are. I was about to be in trouble there. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't mind, for maybe just a minute. Just a minute. Maybe be a good time while she's playing something real quiet and soft on the piano. Maybe you left that first love. There used to be a strong connection between you and God, and maybe you've left that first love. Maybe you ought to renew that love that you once had for God. Now maybe you've got it all worked out and everything's good. You don't have any problems. I love Jesus. I don't need to fix nothing. Maybe that's you. But if you don't, why don't you slip out tonight, if you need to, and come down to the altar and see if you can do some business with God.